Good morning. Welcome to the class on worldliness. We have some visitors in our class this morning. We welcome you. Okay, before we get into the material this morning, as we normally do, we go through and do our review. So we'll do some questions that we've been working on, and I think some of these might be a new question. Let's do question number 36. And let me call on Sandra Bernard, number 36. Sandra, some say that since the Bible only forbids excess use of alcohol, that it's okay for moderate use. How would you answer, and what scripture would you use?
Right.
So if you heard Sandra, she was saying that if you use that reasoning, and the scriptures do say that, you know, drunkenness is outright wrong. When you try to find scripture about moderation, you don't find it. But an argument you could say is, well, there are other scriptures that will have the words like, do not be excessively wicked. And what we're using here is there is a scripture talking about deacons that they are not to be addicted to much wine. And some people will use that scripture to justify that, well, it's much wine, then a little wine's okay. And that type of scripture, using this type of reasoning, you see there are other scriptures, as Sandra's pointing out, like Ecclesiastes 7:17, do not be excessively wicked. So does that then authorize, you know, common sense tells us no. Is it okay to be a little bit wicked? It says excessively, can we drop the excessive? Does then the scripture permit us to be wicked? Of course, the obvious question is no. And she also mentioned 1 Peter chapter 4:4. It says, do not run with them in the same excess of dissipation. So a little dissipation is okay, but just what's forbidden is excess. And so this is the type of reasoning that we're applying about not to be addicted to much wine. It's not authorized having some drinking just because it's just focusing on much wine. Okay, good. Now let's do some older questions, and these all have to do, I believe, with drinking. Let's do question number 35. Craig Moore on 35. What is one of the best set of scriptures to show that wine in the Bible may not be alcoholic?
Use John 2, 1 through 10.
Okay, John 2, verses 1 through 10. So, you know, someone, you're talking to your friend at school or at work, and, you know, they say, well, there's wine, you're, you know, talking about wine in the Bible, and Jesus made wine, and so that must be, say, it's okay to drink some wine. And we use this scripture because you remember when Jesus made the wine in the Feast of Cana, he turned water to wine, he made a lot of wine, right? He had six, I think, water pots. Each 20 to 30 gallons, so he made 120 to 180 gallons of wine. And they were already drinking in this feast. Is now Jesus in the alcohol business and distribution, manufacturing distribution business? Of course, we know that's against all his teachings, that his apostles, and you know, against everything taught about drinking. And so best set of scripture I would say to use. If someone brings this thing up, we'll say, well, Jesus made wine, yeah, but what kind of wine? Was that alcoholic or not? I think it's clear there that it's non-alcoholic. So think about using that scripture when talking to others. Okay, question number 31. Let me ask Wally this one. What is the phrase in Galatians 5:19-21 that states the consequences of those involved in drunkenness and carousing?
Not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right. It's a whole list of. Things mentioned in Galatians 5, the deeds of the flesh, and it goes on mentioning it. Of course, it has drunkenness and carousing. And what a strong admonition to us, right? So do we even want to touch alcohol or begin involved just a little bit, recognizing that our souls could be in danger and, you know, get involved in as this scripture talks about, in drunkenness and carousing? It's very, very dangerous. Okay, question number 34. Elizabeth, can you do 34? Drinking affects having an active and a capable mind. According to Romans 12:2, how are we transformed as Christians, and for what purpose?
By the renewing of our minds, that we may be perfect in the will of God.
Right. Two parts. So, you know, God expects, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this a lot, actually a lot today, about when we get into drug abuse, but same thing applies to alcohol. God expects us to have a good, active mind. That's how He communicates. That's how we know His will. That's how we know He is. So anything that starts interfering with that is going to be a problem. And as a Christian, what are we supposed to do? As Elizabeth mentioned, we're to be renewing our mind. And why do we do that? Well, we got to prove what the will of God is. That's what we're doing here today, right? We're studying the Scriptures. What are these teaching us about His will? Okay, 33, what are some characteristics of those who drink alcohol or wine according to Proverbs 23 through 29? I actually won't ask one, but there's quite a few there, and I think Craig Moore might add a few more. I mean, the whole set of Scriptures talk about things. Okay, those who drink alcoholic, it talks about woe, sorrow, contentions, you know, argumentative, complaining, wounds without cause, I see strange things, minds utter perverse things. And there's some more, as you can see on the overhead. Some of these we're actually going to come back and revisit as we talk about drug abuse. Okay, so that's the review for this morning. So let's get into our material. For our visitors, we're on page 55 of the handout. Page 55. We're going to start a new discussion here today on drug abuse. So let's we use this picture here at the cover of our notes, Long Arms of Worldliness. And we've talked about already about dishonesty. We've covered that. We've covered materialism. We've covered drinking. So we covered three of the arms. We're going to talk about nine of them. Again, as I mentioned when we started the class, this is not the whole limits of worldliness, but the ones we're going to talk about in the class. And now we're going to talk about drug abuse. So as you look through all these nine things that we're going to be talking about, I don't know what you're thinking as you think about those and your applicability. But you might think about drug abuse, which we're going to talk about here, as probably one that's probably not a big issue for the Christian today. They say, well, look, I'm not, you know, I don't smoke marijuana, I don't do crack. I mean, these are the hardcore stuff. This is what's out in the world. These are the very, very serious things. So you might look at all those nine arms and says, well, drug abuse is probably not a big thing for Christians. Hold on a minute, David. Let me make my point. But I want you to expand your horizon here. Don't always think about illegal drug abuse. I want us to think about, because I think there is, and actually there's quite a bit of drug abuse with prescribed drugs. And this is an area I think that... if you were to go to home and open your medicine cabinets, you probably got a lot of medications there, likely. Got sick people in your family, a lot of medications. And so I'll use this word in the United States, and it's probably true of the world, a drug-infested society, right? And you know this, right? I mean, you turn on your TV, commercials. Most of the time, what do you see about the commercials? Well, they're selling drugs. You go to the doctor's office, they'll have a new drug maybe to offer you. And where do they get this? Well, the pharmacy companies, you know, they've got to spend all this money. They have these drugs, and they're, you know, trying to get the doctors to start prescribing them. So we have a lot of prescribed drugs that we likely use. And I like us to think about, well, for each one of us in general, you know, are Christians misusing drugs that are prescribed by the doctor? So think about that. Dave, did you have a comment or did...
Well, I can see Christians starting to struggle with drug abuse, especially the younger Christians nowadays, because of all the peer pressure. And now it's not in our state, but in other states they're legalizing marijuana. So now you don't have to think, well, it's not illegal, but you got to approach it from a different point.
Okay. Definitely, that's a problem. So, you know, definitely when I talk about this or youth, definitely peer pressure. That's a good point that Dave brings up. So what is our objective here under drug abuse? But our objective here is to urge Christians to be aware and avoid drug abuse, whether illegal or prescribed. Let me mention a few things about the prescribed drugs just to get you thinking about this as we enter into this lesson on drug abuse, start looking at these scriptures. And many of you probably at maybe one point in your life have had some type of injury and your doctor prescribed a drug, Vicodin or hydrocodone. And that's a very common thing that doctors use, prescribe for real, you know, lots of pain. And as you know, that drug, hydrocodone and Vicodin, is an opiate-based drug. And what that means is that opium is its basis, right? Of course, we know what opium is. And when we talk about this in the home, and Dave mentioned about the teenagers, if you are prescribed hydrocodone or Vicodin, what about your teenagers? I mean, one of the big problems here in this country is teenagers getting a hold of their parents' Vicodin and hydrocodone, which is opiate-based, and get hooked on it. And opium is a drug, and hydrocodone is the same problem, but there is a big, big problem with doctors actually illegally prescribing hydrocodone to people and then people using it and selling that drug. So these are some of the drugs that we have, you know, in our, maybe have in our medicine cabinet. And these drugs, hydrocodone and so forth, because it's opiate-based, it is narcotic. It means it is very addicting. You can get addicted to that. And after such long use, it wears off. And so you actually need more of the same medication to wear off the pain if you're continually using it. And if you're using it for back problems, for headaches is a good one. Hydrocodone actually will cause headaches. They'll have these things called rebound headaches. So the thing I want us as Christians to think about here is as we go through these scriptures, think about, you know, your medicine cabinet. And sometimes there's some real practical things. For example, we might have Ambien, you know, go to sleep. Well, do we get to the point where, I don't feel I can sleep very well, I'm just going to go ahead and take that Ambien and not try to, you know, figure out why I'm not sleeping and figure out other ways to go to sleep? Do we automatically go to the drug to take care of our problem? We try other methods. And as we go through these scriptures, we want to see, you know, God wants us to have an active mind. And if these drugs start impacting our mind, they, you know, affecting, you know, our rationality and how we think, and probably affect our decision making. Okay, we got some definitions here of drugs. You can look in the dictionary to see what those are. A drug is any substance used as a medicine or as an ingredient in medicine. And then there's also a third definition is looking at the narcotic, a hallucinogen, especially one that is habit forming. And so as we talk about drug abuse, we want to, what do we mean by drug abuse? It's the use of drugs for non-medical reasons, an attempt to influence the body and the mind to alter the emotions, change the senses, or escape reality. And we probably could alter that definition to think about, you know, maybe an overuse of even medically prescribed medications as part of drug abuse. Okay, so let's get into the scriptures here. And these first set of scriptures here, if you've done the markings, is to stress the importance of the mind. And I find it kind of interesting how in God's Word there is so much scripture about the mind and the importance of the mind. So let's do the first one here, 2 Corinthians 4:16. And you are asked to highlight the two parts of man and then underline in the same color what is happening to each. So if you did that in this scripture here, you find that the scripture talks about the outer man, okay, and then you have the inner man, okay? And then I asked you, underline what's happening to each. Well, it's clear, as the scripture says, the outer man is decaying, right? People getting old, things wearing out, people getting cancer, people getting sick. You know, we eventually die. You know, we're in the outer man is decaying, as the scripture talks about. Well, what about the inner man? How does scripture talk about the inner man? It says the inner man is being renewed day by day. The mind and the hope that we have, and it's, you know, you have the outer man decaying. And what about the inner man? Our inner man should be being renewed day by day. Of course, at some point in time, our minds are going to get, you know, we'll have problems with memory, but, you know, our minds should be, you know, on the upward swing. We should be learning more, becoming stronger, gaining more knowledge, you know, applying God's more, you know, growing in knowledge. And, of course, all these things is in the first part is we do not lose heart, right? You know, there should be give some encouragement. So here you find the inner man is supposed to be being renewed. Well, how can it be renewed if we're, you know, maybe we took too much Ambien? You know, well, we took some Ambien. We wake up in the morning, we're kind of groggy and stumbling around, and, you know, kind of hard, you know, taking a while to get our bearings. And if we start picking up that habit, you know, how is that affecting us? You know, and again, let's look at some other scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Let me go ahead and read this. And here what we were asked to do is we were to highlight what exhortation is given concerning the mind, and then what vital part is it said to play in our salvation and service to God. Let's read Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. And here is actually a prophecy out of Isaiah that Jesus is using, talking about the his opposition. Starting verse 15, it says, "For the heart of this people has become dull, and with the ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with the ears and understand with their heart and return, and I should heal them." So here we find, you know, what is the exhortation? You find there right toward the end of verse 15, you know, God expects us to understand, right? And what do we understand? It says, understand with their heart. Remember, we've made this comment several times already in this class, and you know that. You know, the heart and mind are used interchangeably in the Bible. I'm not talking about the physical pumping heart. Heart is used. Talk about the center of emotion, you know, our will, what we decide to do. Mind and heart are used interchangeable. So here Jesus is talking about, you know, these people have their heart of people become dull. But what do they should be doing? Through their mind, they should be understanding. And then it goes on, it says, why is this understanding so important? He says in the last part that they should return and I should heal them. Right? Return is basically another way to say, you know, repent. You know, return to the Lord. And then, you know, repent. And then we find actually a part of salvation. What? I should heal them, right? Not talking about physical healing there. It's talking about spiritual. Heal their sins. Be cleansed from their sins by, you know, repenting and coming to the Lord. But again, you find that here the problem with these people here is, you know, they basically have shut their mind. And Jesus pointed out how important the mind is. We've got to understand with our mind, and it's important for us to repent. So another important point here. Now let's go to another scripture here. John chapter 6, verses 44 through 45. Let me just read these two scriptures, and then we'll do the markings. It says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." I'll just stop there. When you start reading that, the first question you start asking, how are we drawn from him? So the Father who sent me draws him. You know, no one can come to Christ. The Father has to draw him. How is that being done? Well, the scripture is going to describe how that's being done here in a minute. It says, "And I will raise him up on the last day. For it is written in the prophets," and here we find the explanation, "and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So that's how the Father draws people to Christ. And if you did the markings, everyone who has what? This is how we're drawn, has heard and learned. You realize, you know, the Father is drawing you to the Lord this morning here by being here and going through these scriptures, you know. But here you find we are to hear and we are to learn. Of course, we're doing that with our mind. And then the part about salvation, what part does it come? What part of salvation does it involve? It says, and then if you've heard and learned, then of course you're gonna, you know, obey what the message is, and then you will come to me, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior and do everything that He has defined as becoming a Christian. You come to me. But again, it all starts with hearing and learning. Okay, next scripture we've covered several times in many different facets of our study here, Romans 12, 1 through 2. And actually, we had, well, this was part of our review, one of our review questions. And again, we had the two parts there. First thing, we are to be transformed, okay, by the renewing of your mind. You know, I was reading something the other day about the mind, and it kind of made me think about this lesson about how drug abuse can interfere. You know, our minds are the most complicated object or organ in the universe. There's nothing more complicated than your brain. And God designed it for that. And in this book I was reading, it talked about how complicated it is. For example, it had, like, in your brain, there are over 100 million neurons in your brain. And all these neurons are connected, and there are actually like 50 trillion connections, just super complicated. But that brain that we have, that God designed, that's how God connects into us. That's how He's plugging into us, is through our mind. And if we're taking these drugs, you know, or even prescribed drugs, and they're starting to affect our mind, how can we prove what the will of God is? As I work this lesson, you know, sometimes when we go to the doctor's office, we say, okay, he's going to prescribe a new medication. And normally we ask, well, what are the side effects? Am I going to get upset stomach, or going to make me tired or constipated or whatever it is? And I thought, wouldn't it be a good question to ask the doctor, how is this going to affect my mind? How is it going to affect my mind? And long term, if I use it long term, or, you know, over the next several weeks, how is it going to affect my mind? And that's something that a Christian would want to know. Because if it starts affecting our mind and we start damaging our mind, how can we do what the Scripture says? How can we be renewing our mind and then be able to prove what the will of God is? So this lesson, for me at least, drove home the point about the importance of keeping your mind healthy and active and avoiding things that will cause damage. Okay? Now, you might say, I'm sure belaboring the point, but here we have all these scriptures here, and we're focusing on what the mind says. Let's now go to the next set, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. We know that in Ephesians 1 through 3, it talks about all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ, you know, just blessing after blessing. And then 4 through 6 then talks about the walk of life. And in this walk of life here, these scriptures here talking about putting on the new self. But do you see, when we put on the new self, if we were to highlight, what is the part about the mind here, it says in the first part of verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, our new walk as a Christian and our continued walk, again, like just emphasize, as we mentioned before, our minds be renewed, okay? And that's part of putting on the new self. How we know what to do, is all coming through the mind and reading God's word and understanding it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13. Here Peter says, therefore, gird your minds for action. All right? So here, you know, of course, he's going to talk about things that a Christian ought to be doing. But what does he say first? You get your minds. You know, get your minds, get ready for action. Prepare your minds. And so, again, you see the emphasis on the importance of the mind. Okay, let's go on now to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. Let me read this scripture here and kind of do this, what we've been doing here, like on these other scriptures. Start in chapter 8, verse 10. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, the setting here is not talking about the physical nation of Israel. This is the spiritual Israel. This is talking about the new covenant. And the house of Israel is being talking about us, the Christians, and the house of Israel. It says, after those days, okay, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts, and they will be their God, and they shall be my people. So again, you find here, as we've been marking about the mind. You're under this new covenant that we're under. What's going to happen says, God says, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them upon their hearts. Again, you find this point we keep making over and over again. Minds and hearts are used interchangeably. Here we have parallelism. Put my hearts, I will write them. You know, laws. These are two parallel statements saying the same thing. Now, let me ask you, how is it... as I read that literally, I will put my laws into the minds. How is God doing that under the new covenant? How is he accomplishing this? Through His word, right? You see, He says, "I will put." Right? This is not a direct operation of God on our minds. I mean, God's not telling us, writing into our hearts and our minds. This is the law. He is doing that through His word, right? He's causing it to be happen. How is he? I will put. It's cause. He's saying how. You know, he's saying he's going to do this, but how does he do that? He does that through the word. He caused the word to be proclaimed and to be inspired and to be accurate. You know, his providence, and of course, this is all through the Holy Spirit, caused it to have the new dispensation around, so we can read it. And so we're putting it on our hearts. But he made it available as we're studying it here this morning. So here we have, again, where is it? On our minds, on our hearts. Okay? And then what part does it play in our salvation? You can see the last part of verse 10. It says, I will be their God. Okay? And of course, that's acceptance, right? This is not being forced. It doesn't, you know, as we accept God's word and we do what it is, you know, God's promise is, I will be their God by obedience to the word. And not only that, I will be their God, of course, all through the mind. It says, and they shall be my people. And even though it doesn't say it directly here, if we are God's people, then we receive all his blessings, right? We'll be his children and have heaven, have all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. But again, how is all this being accomplished? It is through our minds. So again, many scriptures here. And I hope you found these markings beneficial and helpful to show the importance of the mind. So a comment we can make as we look at these scriptures here is that if we ruin the mind's ability to function as God designed it, it is to seal the doom of one's present and eternal destiny. And it may not happen overnight. It may be happen with time. By you know, using too many drugs, illegal or prescribed. And so I think as we read these scriptures here, it shows us how important our mind is. And so we got to be very careful about what we do with our minds. Okay, let's now look at when we're talking about drug abuse. Some of the points we made when we were talking about drinking, we're going to use some of the same scriptures here. We're going to look at different parts of the scripture to see how this applies. We've talked about Galatians 5:19-21 many times, in many different, looking at different parts of this scripture here. But as we look at this scripture here and ask ourselves about drug abuse, what phrase do you see here in these scriptures that would include drug abuse, even though not specifically mentioned? What did you mark for that one?
Well,
yes.
On the drug itself. On your definitions and things, I think right. That's important because, like, when we teach that in school, it's a drug is anything that changes your body functioning or the way that you think, any chemical, anything that does that. So, in that respect, alcohol would fall into the drug category. And so, the reason you can use those is because alcohol is a drug, because it does the same thing. And I think drunkenness is referring to anything that affects your mind in that way. You can't make rational decisions.
Okay. All right. Anyone else about the words? You know, drug abuse and drunkenness, you know, they got a lot of similarities. I think when we looked at the words here, you know, it had to do with, you know, drinking excess wine. So I think those two drugs, or those two words, drunkenness and carousing, have to do with the alcohol. But there's another thing here that would include drug abuse. What is that? What is that word or set of words? Right. Kind of the point that Angela is making, right? The same effects you get through drunkenness, you get through drug abuse. Well, this scripture actually has it, right? As we look through this list here, and as we're talking about drug abuse, and we've finished talking about drunkenness and such things, who practice such things? So here's a catch-all that God put in there, and it would include, you know, some other things, right? I mean, it definitely would include drug abuse, right? Because such things, that the same effects that you'd get from drunkenness and carousing. Okay. Let's move on now to the, yes.
Would deeds of the flesh also qualify?
Well, all these, if you look how the scripture is written, the way I understand it, Lisa, was Galatians 5:19 starts with a list of things. And all these are identified as deeds of flesh. And it starts with the deeds of flesh are evident. And when we look at the flesh, I think we made the comment, we normally think of just sexual because it's of the flesh. When you look at the scripture, it doesn't stop there, right? It's immorality, impurity, sensuality, envy, drunkenness. They're actually verse 18 and then 19. And then it comes and then it says who practice such things. You know, it says the deeds of the flesh. And so, yes, I think all those these deeds of the flesh are all these things that are listed in 19, 18, and 21. And then we have this catch-all in 21 that, you know, includes other things that would have that'd be very similar. For example, lust is not specifically mentioned there. Well, such things, sexual things, that we'll talk about that later in one of our future classes. So, yeah. So I think, you know, there it's we got a catch-all, and that would definitely include drug abuse. Okay, let's look at these things. And we looked at these scriptures, many of these already, from the standpoint of drunkenness. But think about it from the drug abuse, and think about, do some of these things, even using prescribed drugs, get these effects? Okay, let's we haven't talked about Genesis 9:20. It says, then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard, and he drank the wine and became drunk, definitely drunkenness, and uncovered himself in his tent. So that definitely talking about drinking, but you know people that get involved with drugs, they do all kinds of lewd things. And here Noah, what did he do? He didn't cover himself. He's naked in his own tent. You know, here's Noah, and this is, we've talked about this before, about how you have all these men or these people of faith in the Bible have ever so often have stumbled. And what do you think about Noah, right? A preacher of righteousness, preaching to the people about saving them from the flood. But what happened? He got involved with drunkenness and uncovered himself. And not only drinking, but we know drugs will cause that, right? People take drugs and, you know, take off their clothes and you know, that's just, those are things that happen when people get involved with these things. Okay, we did Proverbs. We talked about that in our review question. And a lot of things we mentioned there, I think a lot of these things we've already seen, but your eyes will see strange things. And my question to you, have you ever taken any prescribed drug that you start getting dizzy, or, you know, maybe you'll start having some very weird dreams at night? Of course, nothing wrong with having weird dreams, but show you that some of these drugs will start having an effect on you. Even prescribed drugs can cause you to have hallucinations. You know, some of the warnings on drugs that if you start having that, call your doctor. So these things can't happen. And what about other things? In Proverbs, the last part of verse 33, you will utter perverse things, just like a person who is drunk. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 34. Here you find that, and you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or one who lies down on the top of a mast. Yes, it is talking about drunkenness, but you know the same effects we know and we hear on TV and read in the news about people taking drugs. And it continues. Let's go on and let's finish the ones in Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 35. Okay. Here we find, they struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. You know that some of the drugs that people take, things like this will happen. One of the ones that's notorious for this is PCP. Maybe you've heard this. You know, people that take PCP evidently affects your adrenaline, and people become very, very strong. And when police try to arrest people and try to subdue them, it will take like, you know, five or six policemen to subdue one man. You know, and so that's what these drugs have an effect on the system. And here in Proverbs, you know, here's, you almost kind of get this kind of imagery. They struck me, and I didn't become ill. Likely here it means that they didn't think they were ill. Of course, no doubt suffering injury. They beat me, and I did not know it. And we know sometimes when we take these drugs, you know, what is some of the warnings? It says, do not be driving your automobile. If you take these drugs, you know, go to bed and go to sleep. You know, so these things are affecting our system. And, of course, these are prescribed. And I'm not saying all through this, as I talk about this, I'm not saying do not obey your doctor. You know, these drugs are important. If the doctors tell us to take them, if we think that, you know, they're going to help us and we feel that they're helping us, we know that the second greatest commandment that we have is to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, that commandment is predicated on loving ourselves. So we should take care of ourselves, go see the doctor. He has his medication to take it. But at the same time, we need to think about how are these going to affect our mind presently, near term, and long term? And if they're in our household, what about, you know, other family members? And so these are things I'm trying to get us to think about. Proverbs, let's go on now to the next one. Proverbs 107. And again, the same points being made over and over again here, but again, we have these scriptures. Here they reel and they stagger like a drunken man and were at their wits' end. And so you see the effect of drunkenness, same effect from taking drugs, illegal drugs. And, you know, even some prescribed drugs, you know, they do cause dizziness. So they are definitely affecting our mind. And okay, and then let's look at the last one here in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 14. Here it says, "And the Lord has mixed within her a spirit of distortion. They have led Egypt astray in all that it does as a drunken man." What is a drunken man? As Isaiah says, he staggers in his vomit. And so, you know, quite a few scriptures here about drinking, how they affect, you know, people. And we need to kind of take the same admonition when we think about taking drugs. Okay, let's now look to the next set of scriptures here and about how drug abuse can be destructive to our conscience. So here I asked you to highlight what happened to the Gentiles, and we're looking at the conscience. So here let's just read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. It says, "I will say therefore and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God." Okay, let's stop there. So here we see a very dark picture for the Gentiles, right? Excluded from the life of God. They're dark. You know, they don't have the understanding. Okay, but now the question is, what's the cause? What's happening to the Gentiles? And the scripture will describe that. Because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart, and they have become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. So as we did our highlightings there, what happened to these Gentiles? Why were they excluded? Well, you know, first of all, it had to do, it says, with ignorance, okay? And then you say, well, but you know, it goes on, it's just, why they're ignorant, but why are they ignorant? And you see, it was a choice, right? It says because of the hardness of their heart, right? Their hearts became callous. And evidently the Word of God had no impact on them, or very little impact. Their hearts were hardened. And that's another way of saying our conscience, right? Their conscience were seared. They weren't receptive to the Word of God. And then it goes on, kind of reinforced about the hardness of the heart, and they have been callous, okay? And as a result of all these things, because of them shutting their mind off to listening to the Word of God, of course, now they're involved in all kinds of sin, right? They're given over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. So not only do we want to keep our minds clear, but we also, here we see the importance of the conscience. We want to always have a honest and clear conscience. And, of course, point I keep making over and over again, you know, drug abuse and even possibly using prescribed drugs can be a problem. Now, one of the difficulties, I think, when we start thinking about that, what about people who are in chronic pain, who have a condition that they'll never get over with, that have to take pain medication, and normally, you know, Advil doesn't help, and they have to take narcotics, you know? So what about that? Are we saying that those people, because it's, they have these serious pain, they should not take these narcotics to relieve the pain? I'm not saying that. I mean, I'm saying listen to the doctor, be aware of the dangers of these things. And in some situations, some brethren are just, what can you do? I mean, it's just, they're in a situation where they're monitored. And we have some brethren here who are in those situations where they have to take very, very strong medications. They've been doing it for many, many years. At the same time, if you talk to them, they say, well, I got to be careful. You know, it's some of these things are starting to affect me. I got to watch how much I take, and so they're conscious about it. So, you know, we need to pray for those brethren that are in situations where, you know, they got chronic, serious, difficult pains, difficult health conditions. They got to take these medications on a long-term basis, and they may be having some impact on the brain. But the flip side of that, if they were to stop taking it, it, you know, would be a lot of problems on their side. So there are situations where, you know, some people have to take these strong drugs on a long-term basis, and we just pray for those and help them out as any way that we can. Let's look at the next scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 in 1 Timothy. Again, talking about the conscience. And here we are to highlight what happens when one loses a good conscience. It says, "This command I entrusted to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecy previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, keeping the faith and a good conscience." Okay, so this is what Paul is telling Timothy. Keep the faith and a good conscience. And so when we think about keeping a good conscience, we should think that's not for, you know, the world. But here Paul is writing to a gospel preacher, telling him to keep the faith and a good conscience. And Paul goes on and says, "Which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith." So we have two things here, keeping the faith and a good conscience. We can't have one without the other. We've got to have a good conscience to have the faith. And so if you highlighted that, I wanted to kind of look at the last part. Suffer shipwreck in regard to their faith. And fortunately, we used to have some, there have been brethren who were once followers of Christ, for one reason or another got involved with one aspect of worldliness. Conscience started being seared, and they, unfortunately suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. And so for us, we need to, like Scripture says, keep the faith and a good conscience. And again, beware of the importance of how drugs might affect us. Okay, let's now look at the... that's all I have for this morning here about drug abuse. We'll pick up the rest of the material on Wednesday night. I do want to iterate here. I want to be very, very clear is, I'm not saying not to take prescribed drugs. All I'm saying is for us to be alert to the drugs that we take, prescribe, and understanding how they're affecting our mind. And hopefully we've emphasized by looking at these scriptures the importance of the mind, which I think we all know. But maybe sometimes we act and we do things like we don't think about these things. And so think about these things about drug abuse. Any comments, questions, or anyone would like to make in the class before we dismiss this morning? I thank you for your good attention. We're about a minute early. The buzzer will be ringing here in a few moments. So we'll stop here and we'll pick up here where we left off on Wednesday night. Thank you for your good attention.